We're continuing on here in the book of Genesis, and we're coming here to the story of Jacob's life. We've seen what's happened to him so far, and brings us to Genesis 32, which is where Jacob meets God at Peniel. Not Peniel Bible Camp, but the real place, Peniel. And so let's begin by reading this chapter, Genesis 32. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Got to turn my phone off here. It's embarrassing. If you haven't turned your phone off, now would be a good time to do it. Verse 3, "And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there till now, and I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord, that I might find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands, and said, If Esau come to one company and smite it, let the other company which is left shall escape. Then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau, his brother, 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hands of his servants at every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also he is behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third, and all that followed the drove, saying, On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me. And afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed them there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Penuel. As he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh until this day. because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. We need to remember what's going on in Jacob's life as we come to chapter 32. And so if we rewind a little bit in Jacob's life, rewind 20 years. Last time Jacob was home, he had stolen something from his brother, and that was the birthright. Esau resented that, and Esau declared his intention to kill Jacob when his father died. And so 20 years before, Jacob was fleeing from home, and he goes to Laban's home, which is the relation of his mother, and he finds a wife. He finds two wives, Rachel and Leah, and he lives with Laban for 20 years. And then God tells Jacob it's time to return back to Canaan, the promised land. And so last time we looked at Genesis 31, 30 and 31, we saw how Jacob left Laban's home secretly. Laban finds out. He chases Jacob and he tries to get him to do what he wants him to do. But God appears to Laban and says, don't harm Jacob. And so they end up basically drawing a line in the sand and saying that they're both not going to cross over, just agree to separate and go their separate ways. And so now Jacob has settled things with Laban and he's headed home. But there's one more difficult thing that he has to deal with, and that's his brother. He's got to pass through his brother's territory, through Esau's territory. And last time he knew, over 20 years before, Esau wanted to kill him. And so he's coming up to Esau's territory, and what's going to happen to him? He doesn't know for sure. I've titled the chapter here, the message here, Getting Through a Trying Time. And for Jacob, this was another trying time in his life. It was an uncertain time. It was a time that he had a lot of fear in his heart over what his brother was going to do to him. And I want us to see tonight in this chapter how Jacob gets through this trying time. And I want to give you three lessons that we see, how Jacob gets through, and then how we also could get through a trying time. And the first lesson that we need to learn is the lesson that Jacob needed to learn in verses 1 and 2. Look back at verse 1. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. To get through a trying time, first of all, you need to remember God's presence. You need to remember God's presence. And God allowed Jacob to have another reminder of the presence of God with him. And that reminder came just at the time it was needed. Just at the time that Jacob was headed back to face his brother who, for all he knew, wanted to kill him, that's when God gave him this reminder. You need to remember God's presence. And God offers that presence to Jacob. God reminds that presence, reminds Jacob of that presence. God offers that presence here to remind him of the protection that comes with that presence. In chapter 28, we learned of a similar story when Jacob was fleeing from home. And he camps out one night on a rock, puts his head on the pillow, and he has an amazing dream. He sees angels going up to heaven, coming down from heaven, right at the place where he is. And now it happens a second time. God's angels come to him. The angels of God met him. And then verse 2, when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." He called the name of the place Mahanaim. Two camps is the meaning of that name he gives. And so Jacob is seeing these angels, and he's perhaps looking at his own camp and what he has, and he's reminded there really are two camps. There's two armies that are with me. There's God's army that is with me. Jacob needed that reminder of God's presence and the protection that comes with God's presence, the angels of God. Angels are usually things that we don't come into contact with, but angels are a reality. There are many, and the Bible teaches us that they play an important role in the protection of God's people. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 speaks of the angels, and it says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" And in that verse, we are told that the angels of God, God sends forth to serve for us, for them who shall be heirs of salvation. And we see that here in Jacob's life. God sending forth these angels, and he allows him to see them as a reminder of his presence. Psalm 34, 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." Psalm 91, 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." We may not see the angels that God has, but we see them here in Scripture and see that Jacob was allowed to see them. And we have this reminder as well that we have the presence of God. We have the protection of God. And that's exactly what Jacob needed to prepare him for this encounter with his brother. He needed a reminder of God's presence. And we need a reminder of God's presence too. God's presence is with us just as much as it was with Jacob. Hebrews 13, 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." We have the presence of God. We have the protection of God. And we need to remember that. That's the first lesson. Let's look at the second lesson. Sum it up by saying this: you need to not only remember God's presence, but you need to act wisely. You need to act wisely. How do we get through a trying time? You need to act wisely. And we see Jacob doing that. In verses 3 through 8, Jacob sends on a company to see about his brother. They come back and say, "We found your brother and 400 men with him. He's got a host too. He's got an army." And Jacob is fearful about that. And so he divides his own company that's with him. He says, "Okay, you go this way, I'll go this way." And that way, if he gets one group, you know, there's still a little bit left over. He's taking some precautions. In verses 13 through 20, we see him preparing a present for his brother, a present that I think totals up to 550 animals, if you don't count the camels. And he's giving this gift to him, preparing that. He's seeking to pacify his potential enemy, his brother. Proverbs has something to say about that. Proverbs 18:16, "A man's gift maketh room for him, bringeth him before great men." Proverbs 21:14, "A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom of strong wrath." What's Jacob doing here? He's planning. What am I going to do? Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to divide my company. I'm going to send this gift to pacify Esau if he's still angry with me after 20 years. But then we see he does something else that's very wise. I want you to look at verse 9. "And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country, and to thy kindred, and I will dwell with thee. I am not worthy at least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over the Jordan, now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother." Acting wisely involves planning, but we see here Jacob doing something else. What's he doing? He's praying. That's the wise thing to do. He's praying. And notice some characteristics of his prayer. He prays in a faithful manner. He believes God. O God of my father, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred. He's remembering God's word. God, you told me to do this, to return to my homeland. I'm believing this, Lord. And then we see at the end, verse 12 of his prayer, thou saidst, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. What's he doing there? He's appealing to God's promises. He's beginning and ending his prayer with God's word and reminding himself of that, praying faithfully. And then we see he's praying humbly. He prays humbly. Notice his attitude in verse 10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. He prays humbly. Lord, I don't deserve this, Lord. I'm not worthy of everything you've given to me, of the mercies, of the truth that you've showed me. I'm not worthy. And then notice his honesty in his prayer, verse 11. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. He doesn't hold anything back from God. Lord, I'm afraid. Help me, Lord. He's praying honestly to God. So how do we get through a trying time? Yes, we need to plan and figure out what we're going to do, but we also need to pray. We also need to pray. And those two things constitute the wise action that we need to take. Praying and planning. And praying and planning. Praying and planning. Act wisely. So remember God's presence. Act wisely. And then notice thirdly, you need to learn from God. You need to learn from God. Verses 24 to 32 teach us about what happened to Jacob there at this place, Peniel. And we see that what that was a teaching time for Jacob. You need to learn from God. Jacob had some lessons he needed to learn. The first lesson he needed to learn here at Peniel, he needed to learn to surrender to God. Learn to surrender to God. Jacob sends the rest of his family on ahead. He's left alone, verse 24. And there wrestled a man with him until the break of day. Now, we've already read that story. We know who that man is. It's God. But imagine Jacob standing there, and God comes to him there. You know, it's not that Jacob was standing there and he was planning on doing this necessarily. God comes to him. He's there alone, and then, boom, all of a sudden, there's a man that's wrestling with him. I mean, that sounds scary. It's at night, and someone is wrestling. But we know that's God. And when God comes to Jacob, he has something to teach him. And that is a gracious thing. When God comes to a person and meets them in their need, if they know their need or not, that's a gracious thing. And God comes to him in grace. Somebody said, you know, we've heard the song Amazing Grace, and maybe for Jacob, what it was assaulting grace. You know, there's this man, boom, he's assaulting him, but it was God and it was gracious. God had something to teach him there. We see in verse 24 that they wrestled all night. They wrestled until the break of day. Verse 25, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. God gave Jacob the opportunity, I believe, to surrender himself. God could have touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh whenever it was when he first came and wrestled with him. He could have touched him and it's over with. But he didn't do that. He wrestled with him the whole night. And I think perhaps he was giving Jacob that opportunity to surrender. To surrender himself. I never wrestled in high school or anything. We did have a unit on wrestling in high school, in gym class, all right? That was the only time I ever wrestled. But the one thing I remember about that is that it is exhausting. And even the rest, think of the high school wrestling matches, and I think you have the three periods, and at the most, they're 3 minutes each, the periods. But think about that. All night long, he's wrestling. I can't imagine the exhaustion there. God ultimately forced Jacob's surrender. God forced it. He touched his hip. He puts it out of joint, and he supernaturally gave himself the advantage. He supernaturally caused Jacob to have to surrender. He forced it. But that was the lesson that Jacob needed to learn here. He needed to learn to surrender to God. He needed to learn to surrender to God. Read a story about a man who was sailing on a ship. And he was out on the deck one day and saw one of the crew members climbing the ropes going up to the crow's nest. And all of a sudden, the ship turned to one side. The man fell off into the ocean. He hit the water. He began to scream for help, flail his arms as he struggled to survive. And people were watching as the sailor there, guy in charge, was watching the man in the water. And after a while, the man in the water began to sink. And at that point, he was rescued. And somebody asked the rescuer, "Why did you wait so long to jump in the water to rescue the man?" He said, "I found that as long as a man is struggling in the water, there is greater chance that he will get us both drowned if I jump in too quickly and try to save him. I've learned it's better to let them struggle a while, and when they come to the end of their own strength, I can then jump in and rescue them." And I think perhaps we see a similar thing going on here in the life of Jacob. God is wrestling with him all night, allowing him to struggle and to come to the end of himself. And finally, he has to give himself the advantage and force him to surrender. And Jacob learns that lesson. But perhaps we can see a parallel in our own lives. We can see a parallel in the lives of other people. You remember the life of King Hezekiah. God struck him with an illness. And Hezekiah testifies of his own illness. Isaiah 38:13, he said, "I reckon till morning that as a lion, so he will break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me." King Hezekiah is reflecting on his experience in his sickness, and he feels like God is wrestling with him. He feels like God's going to break him. Jeremiah says a similar thing in Lamentations 3:3, talking about God. "Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones." And God's people sometimes have that feeling that God is against them. And why is that? Perhaps it's because God is trying to teach you a lesson. And that lesson, I think, in Jacob's life was, learn to surrender to God. Learn to surrender to God. But there's a second lesson that Jacob learns here. Notice verse 26. He said, this is Jacob speaking, "Let me go." Or no, I'm sorry, this is the angel, God. "Let me go, for the day breaketh." He said, Jacob said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." He said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed." I think the second lesson that God wanted Jacob to learn here is that not only to learn to surrender to God, but learn to cling to God. Learn to cling to God. When Jacob was forced to surrender, all he could do was cling to his opponent. He held him. He would not let him go. And God wanted Jacob to see that in doing that, that is where he would be truly powerful. In clinging to God is where he would have his true power. Up to this time, Jacob was used to relying on Jacob's own understanding, on how Jacob would get things done. But God wanted him to see that that's powerless. The way to have true power with men, with God, is to cling to God. That's how you have the true power. If Jacob is going to be victorious against Esau, if he's going to come out of this alive, he's got to cling to God. He's got to cling to God. God has a name change here for Jacob. As Jacob goes through this point of surrender, no more called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. I think we see in there is a blessing for Jacob's action here. Clinging to God, right? That is what God is trying to teach Jacob. That's where the power is. And then we see a final lesson, not only learning to surrender to God, learning to cling to God, but learning to look to God. Jacob didn't fully understand who he was dealing with at first. He didn't know who this guy was. He begins to get more of an understanding, and he asks him what his name is. He wants to know. That name is not revealed, but in the course of this encounter, Jacob comes to understand who he's dealing with. And we see in verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, face of God. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob came to realize who he was dealing with. He was dealing with God. God wanted Jacob and his descendants to learn that lesson. They needed to learn to look to God, to surrender to God, to cling to God. And that's where they would have their power. Not in their own wisdom, but in surrendering to God and clinging to God. Jacob called this, renamed this place. He wanted to remember it. He wanted other people to remember it. The children of Israel, verse 32, would remember this occasion by their not eating that particular portion of their meat in remembrance of this incident. God wants us to remember the lessons that Jacob had here. He doesn't want us to forget that our true power is in clinging to God. It's in coming face to face with God, surrendering to His will for us, not fighting against Him. God wants us to remember that. So how do we get through a trying time? We see here some lessons in the life of Jacob. You need to remember God's presence. Jacob needed that reminder. It came at just the right time in his life. God let him see the angels. God may not let you see the angels, but He tells us about them, that they are there, that they minister on your behalf, an heir of salvation, Hebrews 1:14. Then we see the lesson of needing to act wisely, planning, but also praying. And then we need to remember our own need to learn from God. Jacob needed to learn from God most of all. He thinks that his greatest need is figuring out what he's going to do with Esau. But God meets him to teach him to surrender and to cling to God and to look to God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, perhaps you are seeking to teach us a lesson here tonight. Perhaps one of us here tonight is being met by God. Perhaps it feels like a wrestling match. Oh Lord, we pray that you would help us to surrender to you, not to fight against you, and to cling to you, because in doing that we see that we have our power. Help us to be looking to you, seeking your face through your word, seeking to be changed as you changed Jacob. Oh Lord, how we thank you for your presence with us, that protection that is available through us, through you being with us, and the angels which are available to protect us. How we thank you, Lord, for that reminder here tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.